Alice Walker is an American journalist, short story writer, poet, and activist. She wrote the novel The Color Purple, The Temple of My Familiar, and Possessing the Secret of Joy, among many other works. In her new book, Taking the Arrow Out of the Heart, Alice Walker shares a timely collection of nearly 70 works of passionate and powerful poetry that bears witness to our troubled times while also chronicling a life well lived. She will be speaking at a KPFA benefit tonight, October 18th at 7:30 p.m., hosted by Nina Serrano at the First Congregational Church of Berkeley. Alice Walker, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Very happy to be here.
Can you talk about why you named the book Taking the Arrow Out of the Heart?
Yes, it's actually a Buddhist concept that we are all shot with the arrow of suffering and sorrow and sometimes hopelessness and despair. And we spend a lot of time arguing with whoever shot us and paying little attention to the fact that we really have to get the arrow out. So it's about that. It's about learning how to heal ourselves at the same time that we're going against whoever's wounding us.
And what was your reason for writing the book at this time?
You know, we're all suffering so deeply. We're all full of arrows, I mean, in the heart and everywhere else. It's a perfect time to write it. And I think that it'll be good medicine for a lot of people who really are tired of just shouting at the archer and not dealing with the wound.
And what message do you feel that other artists and poets need to be expressing to the masses of Americans in particular at this time?
I actually think that all of us should be trying to learn how to lead ourselves instead of thinking that other people can lead us, because really they can't, you know. And I think the sooner we figure that out, the better for all of us. Learn to get your own wound taken care of and lead yourself. And you can often do that by spending a lot more time in solitude and quiet and silence and meditation than in not.
And how do you suggest that we take the arrow out of the heart?
Well, I think a lot of silence and a lot of quiet and a lot less chatter and a lot of less Facebook time and a lot less TV for those who, you know, have that affliction or addiction. There is a self, you know, there is a self in there, and that self would really like to have some space for us to know what it is exactly that it really desires of this world and this life.
And for you, when it comes to two seemingly different worlds, how do you feel that spirituality and politics connect, if at all?
Well, it depends, you know. I never try to separate anything from anything. I mean, if you can just have your spirit lead you into your political convictions, I think that would be nice. And infuse the political situation with some sense of what is, you know, deeply spiritual and grounding and natural and good. That would be wonderful. And, you know, maybe some of our energy could go in that direction.
And how does that work for people, or a number of people who on the left might identify as atheists?
Yeah, because spirituality has nothing to do with religion. So they can be atheists and very spiritual. I mean, I would say that of myself. You know, I'm not religious, but I'm, you know, I have a spirit that I honor.
Right, and there are some people who confuse spirituality with being anti-intellectual.
Well, I'm just never in their company, so that doesn't apply to me.
And with the seemingly insurmountable problems that plague America today, like homelessness, where we commonly see people walking over people in the streets, how does one develop empathy for the suffering of others without becoming overwhelmed or swallowed up by the troubles of their fellow human beings?
Well, by just doing what you can and stopping with that. I mean, nobody's asking you to kill yourself by helping other people. But what we would like is if you could do what you can. You can't, you know, do more than you can. I mean, in my life, I do what I can do. And then I go, you know, somewhere and have a nice, you know, something to snack on. I mean, most of us grew up in communities where people just routinely helped each other. And there's no reason for that to stop now just because you don't know the people that you see on the street.
What worries you most about the times that we're living in?
I don't worry, really. I mean, I...
More about concern. Maybe another way to put that would is, what concerns you the most about the times we're living in?
The abuse of the planet itself. I think that we are so ignorant, I mean, in terms of what it is that actually we need to sustain life, you know, which is like the planet. And just seeing how oblivious people have been for so long and how waking up is so hard. I never expected it to be quite this hard for people to get it, that they have to take care of the mother in order for the mother to take care of the children. So that's been very, you know, I mean, it's been quite a surprise.
And is that partly because of the mentality of the world of business that is just thinking about the bottom line and numbers? I heard Donald Trump recently say that in terms of pulling out of the Paris Agreement, that yes, we should be concerned for the planet, but why does that have to disrupt business?
Well, I don't think we need the wisdom of Trump. I mean, I really think that we can just look at ourselves and see where it is that we can actually change the situation in our own communities and, you know, and right around us. So I don't know. I mean, I can't reach over and try to, you know, answer for Trumpism. I can only say that, you know, you do the best that you can. Everybody has a responsibility to lift us all up. And honestly, if we do that, I really think we can transform the whole world very quickly. It's just that sometimes, and more often than not, because of a kind of greed that has, you know, just taken hold of us, we can't share and we can't, you know, try to help people be healthy and wealthy and wise the way, you know, life should be.
And is there anything that makes you feel hopeful that things will get, that things are getting better for generations to come?
Yeah, I try myself to be better. You know, I am my hope. And I figure if I do my best, that's all I can do. And I encourage everybody to do their very best. You know, put your best foot forward and be as generous as you can and try to study and understand what is happening. And don't look for leadership to lead you anywhere, you know, particularly, you know, long-lasting, even if it might be temporarily, you know, hopeful. And, you know, just keep going. I mean, just keep going.
Can you talk about your poem about Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yeah. It's just that we are in the dark ages now. You know, we are there, and you know, we might as well just, you know, accept it. And you know, but no matter how long it lasts, we know that there will be an end because we've been in the dark ages before. And in the dark ages before, it was people like Martin Luther King Jr. and all of us working down in the South who got out there and you know, with just being the light ourselves, we chased the dark. And we did it singing. And I think that's great. And I really, the older I get, the more I admire Martin and all the people who were with him, including myself, because we really showed that we really love our people. We love them. You know, black people are loved. I wish they'd just really understand that.
And what would you say to the argument that integration may not have been the right way to go?
Well, I would say that we had to go somewhere. And, you know, Zora was very clear, Zora Neale Hurston. Mm-hmm. One of the things she said was integration would just spoil our teachers because it would end up taking them away from our children who need them. They need to have teachers who love them. And we've now sent our children to teachers and schools that hate them, and no wonder they're a mess. But on the other hand, we have to be realistic. You know, I grew up in Georgia under strict segregation. I would not want to go there. So what needs to happen now is for us to come up with a whole new way of relating in this culture. You know, not trying to integrate, especially, but also holding out, for the most part, our desire that we be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and safe. Now, that's a tall order because the cops, you know, will put a bullet through that. But anyhow, you know, it's a way. It's a different way of thinking about it.
And with the Buddhist belief that life is suffering, would you say that all suffering is created equal, that we should be just as concerned for an abuser as the person that they abuse?
In Buddhism, it's not like life is just eternal suffering for everybody all the time. It's just that there is suffering in life. Mm. And that's true. I mean, we know that. You know, we all suffer at some time or other. But it's not all suffering. And so I think that, you know, part of what the Buddha was saying was that if you, and Jesus actually said this too, Jesus in the Gnostic Gospel says, learn to suffer and you will not suffer. And that, I think, is just brilliant, because what they're both saying is that, of course, you know, life's got suffering in it, but you also, you know, move above it and beyond it and through it and over it. And occasionally under it, but, you know, you get through it, and then you go on and, you know, you fall off again into the abyss, and then you climb out and you go somewhere else, and it just keeps going. But that's life, you know.
And in the politics of the world today, above the battle of Democrats versus the Republicans, there seems to be more of a battle of ego versus spirit, or entitlement versus humility. Political leaders that don't seem to have the depth of character, when those most noble qualities like humility often come from an individual's ability to know how to suffer. What's your take on the idea of ego versus spirit?
Well, you know, most people need to tame and trim their ego because it is so encouraged in a society where you're supposed to be bigger, better, taller, stronger, you know, whiter, or whatever. And spirit could definitely use a bit of development in almost everyone. And, you know, all I can say really is that I hope people will get on with it before we lose our planet, because part of, you know, what spirituality and being tuned into spirit will do is it will help you recognize who your mother is. Your mother is this planet. And in that sense, we're all earthlings, and we should be taking care of our mother. And if we don't take care of her, why should she take care of us?
In the things that are happening in these days and time, these seem to be inspiring times for the rights of women, especially when it comes to the issue of sexual assault. What's your take on the strides that are happening with the Me Too movement?
Well, I'm not aware of all the strides, but any stride that a woman takes to tell the truth about her life is a good one, because it helps her to free herself. And the only way the planet will ever recover is to have free women mostly in charge, I have to say. I mean, it's too bad. But I think unless, you know, women take over running the planet, we probably won't have one.
And can you also talk about why you coined the term womanist instead of feminist?
Yeah, because I'm a you know, I come from a culture, you know, I come from a Black Southern culture, and we have our own words for what we are and how we feel. And womanism is one that comes naturally to us, and it fits our lips, it fits our mouth, it fits the way we look at the world. Well, we know we have to struggle as women, but we have to also hold our communities together, because they will always be killing our sons, apparently. And so since that is true, we know that we can never really be separatists. I mean, we may do it for 2 weeks just to gather our wits and, you know, run away from some crazy person we married. But, you know, it's just a realistic sense of having a word that describes you from your own community, you know, and your own people and your own culture. It has nothing against feminism, and in a way it is feminism. But we're Black, and we have a different experience here. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's true.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I thought you might have.
Yeah. We've been speaking with writer, poet, and activist Alice Walker. Alice Walker is an American novelist, short story writer, and her new book, Taking the Arrow Out of the Heart, she will be speaking on that at the KPFA benefit happening tonight, October 18th, 7:30 p.m., hosted by Nina Serrano at the First Congregational Church of Berkeley. Alice Walker, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
You're so welcome. Take care.
Thank you.